1 year ago, on October the 29th, 2018, Lion Air Flight 610 took off from the airport in Jakarta, Indonesia. Only a few minutes into the flight, the crew radioed the tower for permission to return to the airport. A few minutes after that, 13 minutes after takeoff, the plane crashed into the Java Sea, killing everyone on board, 189 people. This aircraft was brand new and had only been in operation for 3 months. 5 months after that first crash, on March the 10th, 2019, Ethiopian Airlines Flight 302 took off from the airport in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, and it crashed 6 minutes after takeoff, killing all 157 people on board. That aircraft had been put into service just 4 months earlier. Both of these aircraft were the 737 MAX 8 manufactured by the Boeing company in Seattle, Washington. The MAX 8 is the latest generation of Boeing 737 family of planes. As a result of these two crashes, which killed a combined 346 people, all of these 737 MAX 8 planes have been grounded. What exactly caused these planes to crash is still largely unknown. The U.S. government, through its National Transportation Safety Board, is leading an investigation into these accidents, and I imagine they will eventually conclude that a combination of factors were at play to cause these incidents. But that is not what I want to address today. On Tuesday of this week, several executives from Boeing, including the CEO, were called to testify in Washington, D.C. before the U.S. Senate's Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee. And the purpose of this hearing was to discuss the 737 MAX 8, its development, and its future. During this hearing, there in the committee chamber, sitting directly behind the CEO of Boeing, were over a dozen family members of those who had died in these two crashes. These people, they just sat there quietly, but holding these poster-sized photos of their loved ones, the ones who had died in these crashes. So why were they there? What were they doing? Attending a congressional hearing certainly wasn't going to bring their loved ones back, was it? I believe they were there simply to put a face on the statistics, to remind the people from Boeing, as well as those senators, that real people had died. Beautiful, living people with families and friends and jobs and communities. These family members wanted to emphasize to Boeing and the government that their actions have consequences. Those family members didn't travel to Washington from all over the world to disrupt these hearings. They simply wanted their presence to be felt and recognized. They wanted to give a voice to their loved ones who had died. Now, there are different words to describe what these people were doing that day. You might call it protesting or demonstrating, striking, dissenting, rallying, picketing. But I want to apply a biblical word to describe their actions. And I would like to say that these people came to Washington, D.C. as an act of lament. In biblical language, to lament is to express deep grief, regret, or sorrow. Lament can be communicated through words and or actions. A lament, it's not just lashing out in blind anguish or anger like a toddler throwing a tantrum. A lament is focused. A lament is directed at God. Those families of the air crash victims, they weren't there to lament to God, although some of them probably were. They were there directing instead their grief at another higher power. In this case, that higher power is the U.S. government. And in taking their lament to the government, they are saying, we recognize your ability to right an injustice and to prevent this from happening again. A lament to God, well, that says essentially the same thing. A lament is where people or even nations pour out their grief to God, confident that God will indeed hear them. Our Holy Scripture is full of occasions where people come to God in lament. For example, in the Psalms we read, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. There is an entire book in the Old Testament named Lamentations, which is written in response to the destruction of Jerusalem. Jesus, on the night before his crucifixion, he prayed to God in what can only be described as a lament. Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup from me. Today, I'm reading from the book of Habakkuk. And this book can be found among the minor prophets at the back of the Old Testament. Habakkuk itself is brief. It's only 3 chapters long. And it consists of a series of conversations between the prophet and God. This book, it opens with a lament. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not listen? We don't know the specifics of what Habakkuk is lamenting to God. We do know that he is deeply concerned with the presence of the Chaldean army, which is marching towards Judah, his land. And because of this, his people live in constant fear. They fear that war is just around the corner, and it probably is. For this reason, Habakkuk makes this lament, and he says to God, how long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save. Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. In times like this, as Habakkuk cries to God, the norms of our society, they disintegrate as the people devolve into fear. Habakkuk tells us in times like this, the law itself becomes slack and justice never prevails. It is a time of injustice. And this is the time that the people lament and they turn to God to restore order. God confirms that, yes, the Chaldeans are at their doorstep, and their army is fierce and terrible, and they will bring destruction, and the people, they should be afraid. Habakkuk appeals to God, arguing that his people, they've tried to remain righteous. Yes, they have failed some, but where is God's mercy? In chapter 2, Habakkuk uses the language of a soldier or a sentry standing guard. And Habakkuk says that he will remain at his post waiting until God replies. God says to Habakkuk, "Yes, I will give you an answer to your lament. I will give you a message to take to the people. And when I give you this message, I want you to write it out on a tablet in large letters so that it is clear for all to see." And eventually, God does bring a message to Habakkuk. But not right away. Because God answers in God's own time. We may approach God in grief. And when we do so, we want action now. But there is the powerful likelihood, as we have experienced, that we may just have to wait. Because God works in God's time and not our own. As I said earlier, a lament is different than a simple cry of anguish. A lament is directed at God. A lament is recognition of God's power and presence in our lives, of God's ability to make consequential change. The families of those air crash victims, they went to Congress because of their hope and belief that Congress might enact meaningful change so that this accident would never happen again. The faithful call upon God in their grief precisely because they are faithful, because they have faith in God. It is possible to be angry with God, but still to lean upon God for change. Earlier this week, I asked you to share with me the questions that you bring to God in those times that push you to the edge, your times of loss and pain and fear and anguish. And I received a number of thoughtful responses. One of you said that their question of lament is, "Will you please not leave me, God?" And for another, the question is, "Why me?" Another said that their lament is not a question, but a request for strength to endure the loss and pain. And this person gets to the heart of lamenting by saying, "If I didn't think that God had a big plan and that everything was somehow part of that plan, then I would be lost." Another said that their question of lament is, "What do you want from me?" This person asked this after having survived great trials themselves and understands now that God is present and always will be present in their lives. Some of you may not feel comfortable lamenting to God. You may say that it is wrong to challenge God or to question God, but we can bring our laments precisely because we have a relationship with God. God knows us and we know God. On this Sunday of All Saints, which we recognize today, we are remembering all those in our lives who have gone before, the great cloud of witnesses who lead us, guide us, and encourage us in our lives and in our faith. And today, we remember especially those who have died just this past year. Those people we knew, those people we love, those people that we miss so terribly. And with them, our grief is still fresh and raw, and our laments are loud. And because of them, we cry out, "How long, O God? My soul is struck with pain. I am languishing." Or, as Habakkuk puts it, "Rottenness enters into my bones, and my steps tremble beneath me." In time, God will reply. And in time, God will answer us, but in God's time. We all seek our God as we seek security within our lives. We call on God to watch over us and to protect us. But then there comes some unexpected event that shakes our world and throws our faith into disarray. And it is times like this that we appeal to God with lament. When we are lost, when we are angry, when we are afraid. And it is through our grief and our lament that we can then reorient and rebuild our relationship with God. And the result is that our relationship becomes stronger, becomes more durable. The book of Habakkuk concludes with a prayer. And in this prayer, the prophet doesn't promise that all is going to be sunshine and candy when it's over. No, life will continue to be marked with challenging moments and trying circumstances, events that test our being. And yet, Habakkuk the prophet proclaims that his faith will always remain strong. This is the prayer that he offers us at the end of the book. Though the fig tree does not blossom, and no fruit is on the vines, though the produce of the olive fails, and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold, and there is no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. Amen.